Welcome to Music Journeys. I'm Mike Foley. On the show today, JJ Gray. JJ and his band Mofro coming to Columbus this week for a show at Kemba Live, Thursday, March 28th. Here on Music Journeys, JJ shares what inspired the songs on his latest album, O Lusty, his first in nearly a decade. He shares some of his influences as well and takes part in that listener favorite segment concluding the show called The Fast Five. JJ Gray, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hey, y'all. This is JJ Gray from JJ Gray and Mofro, and this is my music journey. I guess my earliest memories are listening when we were kids after church. We'd drive home, and the Casey Kasem Top 40, I guess the Top 40, would be on. And the car had an 8-track player, and going on like vacation every once in a while. Eventually, we had a back porch, a small back porch, and my dad closed it in, put a pool table in it. Now, there was enough room on each end, funnily enough, the long ends to use the pool cue, but the sides of the pool table, that was tough because you had to hold the pool cue up like this. But anyway, he had an old Sound Design. That was the name of the company, which is really just their stereo. And it had a turntable. It wasn't no like Techniques or super great turntable. And my sister had a bunch of 45s from the 70s, disco stuff from the Bee Gees, all Casey and the Sunshine Band over to Rolls Royce or Main Ingredient, a lot of the pop, big pop songs at the time. And then when I got old enough, my sister got me Gold and Platinum, Skinner double album. That Gold and Platinum album, there was a song on there called I Know a Little. Real fast song, and I used to love it, especially all the little solos, the quick solos. Billy Powell just crushes his piano solo on it, and of course the whole band, Ronnie, everybody sounds great. But I used to listen to that song over and over and over and over again. That was on the record from Skinner, and Free Bird, obviously it's a classic, everybody loves that song. But I Know a Little in its own indirect way sort of inspired Free High for me.
Look at him.
Yeah, I was born in 1967 in Jacksonville. By the time we get into the 60s, when I was born, things started moving, really started moving faster. And they started moving faster, obviously, from about early 1900 to then. So where I'm going with this is my generation is different than a lot. We're like a transitional generation. Like part of me is in the stories of my grandfather and my grandmother and then taking me to those places and some of those places still existing in the wild and all the way to today. We're in this transitional generation, sort of a child of neither completely, but a child of both at the same time versus kids now. I don't know how much further technology can go. I guess it can go a whole lot further for all I know, but I think it just changed in some ways. You could look at it like in the old days, older generations, people lived in a tiny bubble. They weren't exposed to a lot. And at the same time, you could also say today, generationally, everything is in a bubble, a tiny, 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 tiny bubble, which is the story of human beings through the internet or through a computer versus the actual living the story back then. They actually had to live the story. I understand both of those things. And I think that's made the music, because the music's made itself through me. And so it's come through that filter, whether I like it or not, whether I know it or not, or whether I even acknowledge it or not. It's the filter of those two worlds. And I say on the periphery of my life, because I didn't live when my grandfather did, but it firsthand, he brought it to me, what the world he grew up in. And now I'm experiencing the world I'm in, and I'm listening firsthand to people tell me about their experience. So I'm somewhere in between all that. And I think that's what's made the music what it is, or at least the lyrics and the story behind the songs.
Well, let's get to some of the songs on this great album, Olusti. How would you, as a whole, describe the collection, kind of where it comes from, what it represents, what it means to you?
The last two questions are the easiest answer, and is I don't know. I have no idea where it comes from exactly, and what it means to me is even a tougher question. I actually have a better idea of where it comes from than what it means, because that's a relative thing. It changes. Some part of me, I guess, has never been comfortable with the idea that I wrote this. For me, it's no different than for me to take credit and tell the world how clever I am that I'm beating my heart. And would you believe? Yeah, and I can right now, I'm going to beat it 68 beats a minute. Now I'm going to beat it 72 beats a minute. It's like I have no say in it, but I do have a say in it. But I don't know how to control that. The beautiful thing is I don't need to control it. And in fact, if I try to control it, to seek that is to deny it. And quite frankly, I don't want my mind, my conscious level thinking mind, to be in control of what my heart does, because if I did, I'd be dead, and probably I would forget to make it beat faster if I had to run. So where it comes from, for me, the songs, I've tried my hand at being clever, and I don't even mean that in a negative way. Some people are very clever and it's awesome. But I don't have that. So I have to wait on the songs to show up. And so they kind of show up when they show up and how they show up. And I'm sort of not in charge of that. And case in point, I could sit aside time and say, every day I'm going to write songs for 4 hours a day. And that's folly. I just know it's not going to happen. It's never going to. And not only, first off, am I only going to show up for 2 days of it and then kind of quit. But when I sit there, I'm going to wind up doing something else. If I sat down to write songs, I'll wind up practicing the guitar, which I never do either. And then if I sit down to practice the piano or the guitar, I end up writing a song. And I guess the moral of that story is pick one and do it, because then good things will still happen, even if it's not what you intended.
Listen to the falling rain, as sweet of sound as sugar cane. A symphony for me. Oh, I pray, I pray, I pray. I pray that you can hear it too. In the silence that's surrounding you. Oh, I need you there. Oh, yeah. And now I'm rolling in a hall. She's singing to me. Never played a blast from every tree.
I think music, it's a thing that I just try to show up, even if it's occasionally. I don't do it a ton. I try to show up, or better yet, let it show up. And it does. Seems like it shows up right when it's supposed to. After being around live a while, I'm not the oldest person. I'm certainly not the smartest. But after being here for a little while, I'm starting to realize that what I call my intelligence is really my interpretation of a bunch of repetitive patterns. Built out of fear and built out of a lot of things. And all those things kind of come into play, and those things write the music, not me. The sleeper song for me that I didn't see coming till the last possible second, because I didn't write the lyrics till the last possible second. I knew I had the chorus sort of idea, and I knew what I hoped it would be about, but that was the song Deeper Than Belief.
In that lullaby, something moved me deeper than any thought that I could ever know. But that's a story now. Told myself a thousand times I'm hanging back by a thread, but I believe it. From the highest high and lowest low, I'm holding on deeper than belief, and I see it through all space and time and thought and mind. I'm holding on deeper than belief.
Next song kind of snuck up on me, and that just all kind of happened at once at the last possible. I'm literally, you know, like I got to turn in a master's like the following week to be mixed, and I still didn't even have anything sung or written. And the only thing on the chorus I had was the phrase deeper than belief, and I knew what that meant. At some point, there are some things that transcend belief. You go from a belief to a knowing. And maybe that's where the intelligence comes from that beats our hearts and is running my liver right now, is it's happened so long that it's a knowing now. It's not a thinking. I don't know that anybody can know their way through life. Maybe they can. I don't know. But let it happen. And you can't sit around and let everything happen. It requires your participation beyond thought or beyond a cool contemplative meditative state. You know what I mean? Maybe you have to run from a bear chasing you, and you're like, well, no, I'm just going to sit down and meditate, and the bear will leave. I don't know about that. Maybe, but I'm gonna run. So that song is about all those sort of a swirl of all those elements, about a knowing and about letting go of the story of a life. Just even something as simple as why I love film, movies, why it feels like you get to live up. If you go see 1,000 movies, you get to live 1,000 lifetimes. Not every one of them is maybe as exciting as some lives and as boring as others, but there's some part of you that wants to hear more stories. And that's old as time itself. So people didn't have movies. They sat around campfire and told stories and in song form, so it could be committed to memory. Yeah, that song has definitely hit me there. And then, of course, The Sea and On a Breeze, both of them are sister. They're like companion songs. You know, I actually want to do a video where On a Breeze goes into the sea. On a Breeze feels like the sun ain't down, but it's starting to make its way that way. You know, the light's coming back from the west out. You're out on the ocean, and it's lighting up a seagull in a certain way, certain time of year. And then that song sort of fades out into dusk, which is the sea.
Such a long way. She's gotta get back home any way she can. Whole mile after mile. Oh, but she's free, and that ain't always easy. Just how far can she see when she's looking down on me in a break for the sun, rocking and rolling on her own, floating on a breeze.
straight out on the blue. Every time's the first time.
Both songs are connected to the ocean. A gentleman mentioned earlier, like, the songs, these albums seems more personal and less characters. I'm like, in a way, but the sea is the character. The sea and the seagull is the character in the other song.
Yeah, On a Breeze. Wow, I love the sound in there and your voice. That's tremendous. And I feel the same way about music as you mentioned about movies, because as a listener, I'm introduced to the artist sometimes, you know, sometimes it's personal and sometimes it's a character or a situation that they created, and it still filters through the same way. But it's amazing how that comes together.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, like I said, if I tried too much to get involved in that part of the process, it'd be like me trying to beat my own heart. I'd be in trouble. I'd be dialing 911 before you knew it. So I just try to let that process sort of work itself out.
Can I ask you about the song Wonderland? It's inspiring. It kind of makes you want to just get up and move. How did that one come together?
Yeah, I started out with just that Leslie guitar riff in a hotel room, actually in Alabama. Jamming along, playing it. I said, I want to play something fast, up tempo. So I just started playing the actual kind of a little bit of the melody line type stuff, mainly that little Leslie riff. And then I came up with the chord changes and the horn parts and broke it down into halftime and all that good stuff. When I was younger, it was hard for me to write a song about joy or happiness. I loved songs like that. It's not even that I couldn't. I just didn't even try. I guess it just didn't enter my field of vision. So that said, I do have happy-go-lucky kind of funny songs on all the records. But this one was a little different for me because this was less about, like, okay, you know, just telling a funny story. This was a little bit more about just how does it feel to plug into the joy of just being here. Classic example of that is the first time I saw Buddy Guy. I was just floored. And then I went back a year and a half later or so. He came back to Jacksonville. I told all my friends. He's got this album called Sweet Tea. Well, he already had another different record out by then, probably, you know, a new record. And he, you know, he came out in overalls and he's doing this and he's jamming. And then when I got, he came out dressed a different way. And he wasn't playing the songs off Sweet Tea, which my friends weren't that familiar with. And I was sitting here thinking, man, this show is not, he's not doing all these things that I thought that he was due. And it wasn't that because the show wasn't bad. And I looked over at them and they were like, had this giant grin on their face. It's like, this is phenomenal. And I realized the show is phenomenal. I'm not at the show. I'm at the other show back in a year and a half earlier. And why isn't he doing all these things? And I realized how bizarre it was. So I let go of the what I thought Buddy Guy should do and just started paying attention to what he was doing and realized this show's even better than the other show. And this audience was even more electric than the other audience. And I realized I wasn't at the show. So that song, Wonderland, is kind of about that kind of thing, you know, to let go of the expectation and the story of all this and then experience the joy. All right, let me bask in the joy of not knowing what's going to happen next and not needing to know what's going to happen next and just roll with this, man, and enjoy it. And I mean, when I roll with this, I mean life. On the micro, it's the Buddy Guy concert. And on the macro, it's life and it's life itself. And so thank goodness there are people like Buddy Guy who go play and take whisk you away together where you can share an honest moment with somebody.
So as an artist yourself, how do you balance, you know, what you felt when you went to Buddy Guy as opposed to what you give your audience?
You know, if I went back 2003, 2004, any of that, if we did 20 shows, maybe one of them, I was in the zone most of the show. Maybe three of them, four of them, I was in and out. And then maybe three or four more, I got in the zone maybe once or twice during the whole show. And then all the rest, all I did was be in my head thinking. And which meant I wasn't in the show at all. Even if you're thinking about music, sitting there thinking about what you got to play, that means you're not in the show. You're in almost like a practice rehearsal mode in your mind. You're not there. So over time now, I feel like it's the absolute inverse. It's very rare, and it's a testament to the people that I'm lucky enough to get to play with, but it's a testament to them that they create this canvas. It's a warm, cozy place for me to sort of get lost in with the whole audience and then all of us together. And I realized at that point that just let it happen. Don't come in here with too much expectation. Every show's a show. You're never playing to more than one person ever. You never play to more than one person. There can be a million of them standing in front of you, but you're only playing to one at a time ever. And it's never more than that. And it doesn't need to be any more than that. So over the years, I've tried to cultivate that. And the only way to cultivate it is to let go of the idea of what the show is supposed to be and just let the show be what it is.
And speaking of shows, J.J. Gray and Mofro in Columbus at Kemba Live this Thursday, March 28th. We had a little more fun with J.J. in the Fast Five. Here we go. What's the first song you can remember hearing that you loved?
Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big Bad John is a story song about a guy that saved these miners when a mine caved in. Kind of old school country. And that's one of the first songs I ever remember.
How about the song that makes you feel the most nostalgic or reflective, sparks memories for you?
Probably be Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd. See myself holding a ping pong paddle backwards and using it as a microphone to put on a show to myself in the game room, listening to it on the record player, singing that song. So every time I hear it, I flash back to some of those memories.
Oh, that's a great memory to have. How about your go-to song for dancing? Or if you don't dance, a tune that you hear and you just can't sit still when you hear it?
There's a couple songs that really hit me for dancing. One would be, I'd have to say, would be Can't Stand It 76 by James Brown.
Ow! Can't stand it. Ow! Can't stand it, love. it.
Made me want to get up, even though I'm no dancer, but made me want to get up.
Kind of along those lines, song that makes you feel like working out or motivates you to get something done that you don't feel like doing at the time?
Well, I tell you one song for sure. If I'm riding a bicycle, it'll make me pedal a lot faster. If I'm working out, it'll make me work out a lot harder and push myself. Believe it or not, it's a song called If You Want Blood, You Got It by AC/DC. It's just so high energy. You could just about pick anything from AC/DC. Actually, right in tied with it for first place is Whole Lotta Roses. I mean, that borderline punk rock, you know, it's just so fast and so live, man. So crazy.
Great. Last one is a song that lifts you up when you're feeling down.
The Sun by Burning Spear. It just sounds like summertime, you know, especially the horn lines. It's full of positive vibrations, as they say, but it's just really a song that makes me happy immediately to hear it. No matter what I'm thinking about, I just get lost in the horn lines and all that stuff.
That's wonderful. JJ, thank you so much for your time. It's been great hearing some of your stories. Thank you so much, and thanks for enriching our lives with your music. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's fun.
I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.
I know when you hear podcasts, you may think, I'm not great with technology. I don't want to have one more thing to worry about. But I'm here to tell you, you're missing out on so many amazing stories. And WCBE has made it easier than ever to listen to their own curated list of locally produced podcasts. Just go to WCBE.org and click the podcast experience. You don't have to learn how to use any new technology. Just click on the podcast you want to hear and click play. And don't forget to listen to my show, The Internet Says It's True with Michael Kent.